A neurotypical person has a brain that operates typically, like the norm. And neurodiversity or neurodivergent means that your brain is operating in a way that is different. And it affects and impacts several areas of your life, cognitive, emotional, and behavioral.
From Crossroads Media, this is See Hear Love with Melinda Esterbrooks, Season 10, Episode Number 16.
Welcome to See Hear Love, and we're so glad that you're joining us today for this conversation. Neurodivergent, allowing people to be who they are. And I'm so grateful to have this panel with me for this much needed discussion on this topic. So let's start off right off the bat. Welcome, Sue Wigston.
Thank you.
To the show. Sue's entire career has been driven by her passion for people, over 30 years of collaborating with organizations. I love this, to develop and create high-performing, innovative and engaged corporate cultures. You're a mentor to many. I know that because I've heard about how you've spoken to lives of so many of my friends, and you understand what it means to navigate and be in relationship with a neurodivergent spouse. So welcome. You're also a speaker, a leadership facilitator, you're all the things. So Sue, so good to have you here.
Thank you.
Awesome. Okay, Tryphena Purimala-Gagnon, you're back. Glad to have you back. You grew up as a second generation immigrant in Toronto. Mm-hmm. You're a writer, podcaster, educator, and you have a deep passion to see individuals walk in freedom. I love this. And be able to bring their whole authentic self into every facet of their life, especially when it comes to racial and neuroaffirming identity. And you have two littles with autism and ADHD.
I do.
Welcome back. Thanks. It's great to have you, Tryphena.
Great to be here.
And someone who has never been on our show. You've been on our podcast, but not on set. Stephanie Rourke Jackson, founder of Beacon Coaching and Leadership. And Stephanie is passionate about women's rights, supporting adults with ADHD to function well, and helping relationships thrive. And you have lived experience with ADHD and have found a way to use this challenge as part of your purpose. Welcome,
yes.
Stephanie.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
This is a topic that I have wanted to do for so many years. And let me just say why. Because every couple months, whether I'm at a conference, a viewer has connected with me, I'm speaking somewhere, I'm at a dinner party with my girlfriends. Every one of these women have asked me to do a show on this, on neurodiversity, because either their child or children, husband, grandkids, friends, or even themselves are navigating through autism spectrum disorder, ADHD, ADD, OCD, dyslexia, and others. And they've said to me, Melinda, please have you and your girlfriends, panelists on the show, have this conversation so that we will not feel alone. We want to hear their stories and experience and wisdom so we can glean from them and know how to navigate through this. So here we are today with the topic on neurodiversity, allowing people to be who they are.
So
you feel it?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, you're all feeling it.
Because
all of us,
because
we all have some kind of touch point with it. Yeah. So Stephanie, let's, for those people who don't know, they're like, we've heard this word, neurodivergent, neurodiversity. What is it exactly?
Well, first of all, the word neuro has to do with your brain.
Okay.
Diversity, we all know, means difference.
Right.
A neurotypical person has a brain that operates typically, like the norm. And neurodiversity or neurodivergent means that your brain is operating in a way that is different. And it affects and impacts several areas of your life, cognitive, emotional, and behavioral. And the symptoms can sometimes be excruciating. It has nothing to do with intelligence, but it has everything to do with how we process information and how we relate and then manage our own emotional regulation.
Okay. And it's interesting because neurodiversity has a lot of different, in my definitions, like ADHD.
It's such a broad umbrella term for
right.
so many things, right? Because it can be BPD, it can be ADD, ADHD, OCD. It can be learning disabilities, dyslexia. And the hard part with neurodiversity is often the way that it shows up in the world can often look like a trauma response as well.
Oh,
so then this is where it all gets really complicated.
Okay.
One of the ways it gets complicated.
So many ways.
And I didn't know the list of all of the things that underneath it are. Yeah. Like I didn't know that when I was doing my own research. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow.
Well, I think we are still learning so mm-hmm. much. It hasn't been talked about. Mm-hmm. Like this is season 10 and it's the first time you're talking about it on your show.
I know.
And so, yeah, we're still learning so much. I'm still learning so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into how neurodiversity has shown up in our own lives. Mm-hmm. What are the connections? I know that each one of us has a very personal connection to this. And so how has that shown up? What does that look like mm-hmm. in your everyday with neurodiversity?
Yeah, do you want me to
Yeah, I'm like,
off?
Sue, you know, kick it off. Yeah, yeah.
Well, this is what's so interesting. When we first talked about this being the show, I never actually imagined that I'd be ever talking in public about my husband having ADHD mm-hmm. because this, I always thought, it's not my story to tell. Mm-hmm. And it's only been very recently that he was like, it's okay to talk about it, which breaks my heart. So we've been married for 34 years. Anyone who knows me knows that I am the luckiest girl in the world.
Yes.
And I absolutely adore him. And I consider it his superpower and just it's who he's always been. Mm-hmm. But I have seen him, you know, grow up having been told he is dumb or he is lazy or and just watch that, you know, shame, but also waking up every single morning and saying, okay, like, how do I do my best today? So, and to be honest, I have been so uneducated for years about it and just thought, you know, I'm one of those people who is just sort of like, well, you just need to, you know, think differently or try differently mm-hmm. or like, I really didn't understand. So it's been a lot of him being educated himself, him educating me. I've just always loved him for who he was, but it's been a real journey.
How does ADHD impact in your relationship?
In our relationship.
How does it shown like
well
like, shown up?
I think the biggest thing is like focus. Like he's a squirrel. We're talking and all of a sudden yes. it's like, are you still with me? Are you still with me? And he's like, go, okay, you're back here. And a lot of it, you know, just seeing him not be confident and see those things and just like, why aren't you seeing the man that I see? And just really struggling with, you know, I want to help you be the best, but I don't see you seeing yourself as the best. And that sometimes then just creates, you know, frustration and those types of things. But, you know, for the most part, it's just been like, I'm a very, okay, I'm focused. Let's, you know, sit down and yeah. follow a process and talk about things. And he's like, woo, I'm over there. I'm over here. Yeah. So yeah, definitely learning how to communicate differently. And then, yeah, that's for the most part been, let's figure out I'm not right, you're not wrong, you're not right, I'm not wrong.
Right.
Let's figure out how we work together.
That's exactly. good. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. So powerful. Yeah. Not, like no one is right.
No
We're
one
all
is right.
The best we can.
Yeah.
The ways that we've been created and
yeah.
we're going to figure it out together.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's really special. Okay. So I have a fully neurodivergent family. It was said already, I have two autistic and ADHD children. My husband is also ADHD, and in the process of getting my daughter's diagnosis, and so similar, like my husband's diagnosis, like his ADHD shows up very tangibly. He will not sit still. Mm-hmm. If he's looking at me, he's not listening to me, or anything. If he's sitting in like church, if he's looking at the person, he's not listening. Mm-hmm. He's constantly moving, he's constantly fidgeting, he's very tactile.
Yeah.
All like lots of like sensory input.
And so is that what ADHD is? So to explain ADHD,
yeah.
it's anxiety, what is it? Disorder, hyperactivity?
Yes.
Disorder or something?
No, it's attention.
Attention deficit. Okay,
yeah.
Sorry, yeah.
So it's hard to like stay focused in lots of different ways, right? And so for him, that'll play out. And just also, he'll just get overstimulated because it's not that he can't stay focused. He's focused on everything. Right now, he's taking in everything around him, right?
Okay.
There's a great reel I saw recently of neurons in a neurotypical brain and neurodivergent brain and how much more the neurodivergent brain is firing because they're just taking in everything around him.
Oh,
so he's very aware of everything. He'll give me half a sentence because he's already said the full sentence in his brain, right?
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, all the time. I'm like, can you... Yeah. You finish
your sentence
yes.
too, right?
Yes. I'm like, so are we interrupting me now? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I understood ADHD in his way. And then learning my daughter's diagnosis, it made me realize, I'm like, oh, ADHD looks really different in women.
Hmm.
because I was diagnosed with like anxiety, I had postpartum depression. Mm-hmm. I've often struggled with like, I'm lazy. Like I have a hard day and I am stuck on the couch. Mm. And then I would be like, oh, I felt like I needed to justify myself to my husband. That I'm like, I'm not just being lazy. There's like a million things in my brain that I'm figuring out right now. And I realized I'm like, oh, his body can't stop moving. My brain can't stop moving.
Wow.
Yeah, so the paralysis of being stuck on the couch.
Procrastination.
Oh, the procrastination is so real. And the like, yeah, it so it has been, and just even his, the way his brain works, he needs everything put away in cupboards so the clutter doesn't bother him. I need to see everything on the floor.
Or you forget.
Or forget it exists, right? So I in the recent summer, just got myself an ADHD diagnosis, or was diagnosed with ADHD, because for the first time I understood how ADHD showed up in women.
Wow.
And how different
that's
it was.
So,
it's been so
even thought about that.
Wow. Yeah. It's been so liberating. Even this week I discovered, did you know ADHD or neurodivergence also has to do with your hypermobility? So I'm like, I always sit like hunched over. And I was like, like a thing, because like, I can't explain it properly, but it affects so many facets of my life that I would never have realized.
Wow.
It's been wild to discover, yeah.
Thanks for sharing this. So many like nuanced. Moments. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So layered.
Mm-hmm. So Stephanie.
Yes.
For you.
Okay. So I'll give you my family story. Our middle child was diagnosed when he was in grade one. So my husband and I were shocked, but we wanted to support him. We didn't want him to feel like he was alone in this. So we educated ourselves. We started going to conferences and sessions and reading up on it. And there's so much more information mm-hmm. available. So you don't have to feel like you're in the dark about it and people are talking about it. But as we started to recognize his symptoms and also his strengths, right? Like we mm-hmm. wanted to see where did Dakota shine? Like he had so much to give. And again, it's not intelligence. It's a way in which you process information. It's a way in which your brain tells your emotions how to be experienced. So we supported him and then...
Sorry, why did you do things? That? What were some of the things that you saw in your child?
Yeah. Well, he was just just took longer with things. And I couldn't tell him, Dakota, go upstairs and get ready for bed. That's way too broad, mm-hmm. right? Everything has to be chunked. So go upstairs, go to the bathroom and brush your teeth. Mm-hmm. And then go into your room and put on your pajamas. Now go and do, there were steps, right? And we would put together like little books with pictures. So this is what you do now and this is what you do next. So chunking things so it's not so overwhelming.
Right, okay.
Right? So then we were at a conference and as this mother and daughter were talking about her diagnosis and the mom resisting it because, you know, you feel the shame, right? Like, oh my gosh, there's something wrong with my child. Well, it's not wrong, but it's different.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And my husband started crying. He's like, they're describing me. Oh. That was me at school. I thought that I was dumb. Mm-hmm. I was lazy, to your point, Sue. Yeah. Like, your self-esteem level goes so down. And, you know, another careless mistake. And he'd show up for school, and people knew that there was a test. He's like, how did you all know there was a test? Like,
okay.
Yes. Yeah. So you forget things, right? There's a lot of distraction in the brain, so you forget the important things, which means that you need to have strategies to help you. It doesn't mean that you give up on things. It means you need different supports. So as Dakota was, being diagnosed, and then we were supporting him, and then with school, there were, you know, counselors, and there were certs, and he had an IEP. So we just kind of learned more about it. And as we were learning about it, we were able to, you know, advocate for him too, and help him advocate for himself.
Right, but also, you were also diagnosed with ADHD later. And the reason why I say this is because there's a lot of women watching the show this part of the story for you will be really important for them to hear.
So I was diagnosed at 52.
Wow.
And here's the thing. You were talking about hormones because women learn... we all start laughing.
Hormones,
Woo!
Yeah.
Women and girls learn how to cope because they want to be liked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you mask your symptoms, right? Because if people see you as not being good enough, or not being, you know, the good student or the good right. daughter or the friend, then you feel that shame. So you do everything to avoid it, and you will work extra hard. Like, you can get everything done, and it looks like you don't have it, even as a you know, young mom. Like, but your house is always organized, and your kids always look. But you're staying up till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
You're working so much
trying
harder
to get it all done.
To do it.
Yeah. And it doesn't. And it's so internally frustrating. Like, yeah. emotionally, you're constantly going, "What's wrong with me? What's mm-hmm. wrong with me? What's right. wrong with me?" Because the comparison to see your friends just operating normally is excruciating. Mm-hmm. So when all of my coping mechanisms mm-hmm. collapsed. With, you know, menopause mm. and then, you know, the just trying to manage my kids and everything else and work. And I just, like, the estrogen levels are lowered. And estrogen is a neurotransmitter. Right. And so if you don't have that, your brain doesn't click properly. So the synapses aren't working. So everything gets lowered.
So when that was happening, was that when you realized that there might be something?
I am falling apart.
Okay. Which right. I think I know that there's
the
a
diagnosis.
Number of, yeah, and you got the
yeah.
diagnosis. I think there's a lot of women who are saying, oh, maybe there's more things going on than I realize. Maybe there is.
So I'm interested to know, Steph, though, that once, so the world is falling apart, you get the diagnosis. How did the diagnosis then change?
Yes,
and help?
That's the important part, right? Because
yeah.
it's validating.
Okay.
Right. You look at all of the symptoms, yeah. you check them off. There's like 14 symptoms, like 6 of them you have to have had since you were before the age of 12.
Okay.
So it's easy for a lot of people to say, oh, I have ADD because, you know, you get distracted easily, you forget things, mm-hmm. you put your keys, you know, in the dishwasher, like whatever it is. And you think it's kind of funny, but it's not, because before the age of 12, and if you check your report card, you can see, you know, smart girl, but easily distracted, is a daydreamer, spacey, looks off here, doesn't get things done on time,
right.
forgets things.
Yeah.
All of those
mm-hmm.
different markers, you look at that and you say, was I like that as a kid? And because we don't have as much going on as a kid, we can mask and we can cope. But then when you get older and you've got all of these things happening, suddenly there becomes a point where you hit the ceiling, right?
Yeah.
You're maxed out on your limitations, and they crash.
Okay. Yeah.
And then
okay,
it's like,
good.
What yeah. is wrong? Yeah. So yes, anxiety does show up, and that usually gets treated first. It's yeah. usually anxiety and depression, or maybe it's OCD. It's something comorbid, so that you think that that's what it is, but the underlying issue is ADHD, is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder.
Yeah.
Okay.
Validating.
Yeah.
So validating.
Hi, I'm Addison Espilla, one of the content producers here at See Hear Love. I just wanted to take a moment to invite you to join our community called the See Hear Lovelies. Here's how. Number one, sign up to our weekly newsletter. Every week, you'll get a personal note from Melinda with links to our shows, blogs, and resources, as well as inspirational content and a short devotional. You'll also be the first to know about upcoming events and giveaways. QR code is in the show description, or sign up through our website at seeherlove.com and look for the newsletter icon. Number two, join us in studio and be part of our studio audience. Take a behind-the-scenes tour in our master control room, editing suites, and studio. You'll meet Melinda and the See Hear Love co-hosts and guests. Email us at seeherlove@crossroads.ca for more info. And finally, number three, become a monthly partner. $25 or $50 a month will help us share our brave themes and conversations on television, here on podcast, YouTube, video streaming, and on our social media platforms. We can't do See Hear Love without donations and sponsorships, so please go to www.seeherlove.com/donate and give your one-time or monthly donation today. Become a See Hear Lovely and join our See Hear Love community of belonging, vulnerable and brave conversations. We are here for you.
So in that, I mean, that's really good learning stuff. I think for us, let's talk about, we've all sort of established the touch points and connection.
Mm-hmm.
But how have you navigated it? Mm-hmm. Like there are women and men watching going, okay, we're with you. You've identified it. But how do you live in this? How do you support? What do we do when we're realizing that we live with a neurodivergent person? Or I am.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do we do?
Mm-hmm. You know, I still remember the first time Cal took medication for it. And again, it took him so long to be able to acknowledge and admit. So going and taking medication meant I have to admit that and it seemed like a problem at the time. I still remember him stopping and just saying, seriously?
Yeah.
this is how normal brains work. Like, it, and now it's kind of a joke that in the morning, you know, he'll take his pill and I'll be anywhere in the house and I hear a whoo. And I'm like, it just kicked in.
Yeah.
It just kicked in. I think, you know, the best thing is to just recognize, let him be him.
Yeah.
You know, so before, if he was, you know, having a thousand things in his brain, and so it would calm him to have his phone and play a game, even if there's 100 other things going on, because it calms his brain. Well, you know, part of me would be like, well, why are you doing that? We're watching a show, or, you know, talk to me or something. And just realizing, no, what you need right now, it's really about what do you need right now in order to be at your best, not what do I want, you know, right now. It's not, it's just recognizing that we're different. That's, you know, for me, the best way to support. And he will send me videos to help me. He'll be like, I really identify with this, and he'll send it to me. And it's just, this will help you understand me more. And so, you know, for me, it's just more about education, because I am uneducated in this. Even listening to you, I'm like, oh, wow, it makes so much sense. But I think, you know, that's what we can continue to do, is continue to educate ourselves to really understand exactly what they're experiencing.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
Good.
The education is so key.
Yeah. It's so huge. And I love that you brought up the phone, because when you talked about, like, there's still such a stigma around ADHD, autism, any of it, right?
Yeah.
And there's social values that we have. It's like, oh, no, you don't have your phone in public. Mm-hmm. Oh, like, you make eye contact. Oh, you don't just sit by yourself at a family gathering. Mm-hmm. You interact with people. And I realized those are the big things I've had to unlearn. What are my values that I've had for my husband or for my children that are my own values, that have come up through my own socialization, that I want them to perform in, that are not how they are wired to show up in the world. Mm-hmm. And so for me, both my kids, my oldest burnt out of school when he was in grade three, which, like, if you have a grade three child in burnout who can't get out of bed for months, can't, like, brush their teeth, do anything, like, it's devastating, right? And so he burnt out, and we had seen the signs, right? Like, I mean, in hindsight, okay, so school was really hard for him. He's brilliant. Mm-hmm. He was performing exceptionally. He would come out of the doors and completely dissolve. Like, he had been masking so well for so long, and the picking up of the pieces was so hard. And so he hit the point where he couldn't get out of bed, and then it was like, oh, but before that, it was just like, okay, so his nervous system was stuck in fight. Like, he was in fight or flight for a year.
So dysregulated.
So dysregulated and so violent, not because of who he is, but because everything was a bear. He was fighting a bear in every aspect of his life. And so we made space for him to recover as he was able to. Mm. And then we pivoted. We pivoted to a private school with a smaller classroom.
Yes.
And we did that for close to a year, and he burnt out again.
Wow.
And we're like, what are we doing right now? Like, we have changed our entire life for this, to get you to school, to learn. But really, like, he's the kid who, I was joking earlier, I'm like, he asked for, like, money for Christmas. He's like, I'm going to, like, trade stocks, okay? I'm going to, like, make an account on Wealthsimple. Like, this is the kid who, like, right? Yeah. Like, taking in content across the board. And so we're like, what are we doing? And he had been asking to be homeschooled. And at the same time, my daughter, who was showing up differently, where it was for her, like, to leave the house, you need to wear shoes. She could not put socks on. She would be on the floor, in the entranceway, not able to put socks on. So she needed, like, that. It took an hour to get to school. And then by 1 o'clock, she was calling, because everything was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
People were looking at her. She was just like, it was, so they were like, we would like to be homeschooled. And at that point, my husband and I were like, we have tried everything. What else are we going to do? And if we're not going to make the world safe for them and allow them to be who they are, then what are we doing?
It's good. Yes. You know, so, I thank you, Troy. You know, for us, our two ADD and then on the autism spectrum and ADD. And, you know, it's been a journey for us. But I think the best thing is our daughter Sophie had 3 points a parent to help us understand how to manage and parent her well. So I talked to her, we wrote it down, and so these are the things that she said. So she said, most of the time, parents think, and we've talked about this, that their child is lazy. And this is Sophie, she's 18. She goes, but it's actually called something called executive dysfunction. And it prevents you from doing tasks and keeps you mentally and sometimes physically stuck. So when you're like, you're lazy, you're not doing something, she's actually stuck, and she gets so focused on scrolling that she actually forgets to do a chore, she forgets to do something. And so don't call us lazy, like, kind of figure out what is going on. She goes, the second thing is that it's listening. Like, listen to your child's concerns if they're relating to neurodiversity, ADHD. Like, what is the real issue? Mm-hmm. We respond to the action or the reaction, but what's actually the underlying issue that's happening right now? And then the third, it was accommodating. And this is really fascinating. It's something that can be super helpful is to accommodate your kid with their struggles. But the important thing is, what does it mean, you know, to be different? And then asking your child how you can help and accommodating the best and what you need. And so thank you, Sophie, because it was really great to sit down and talk about it. And she wasn't embarrassed. She's like, this is who I am. This is what I'm about. And so I need your help, Mel and Dad, to be able to like function and to do this. So I thought that was really helpful for me in that. Just quickly, some of the things that are really helpful for you, you've kind of mentioned to help in you know, in accommodating, in allowing people to be who they are.
One of the, I saw this great podcast last week, and there was a very powerful statement that I think impacts all of our mindsets to just be willing to look at it differently. And the comment was, we often say people will if they want to, and we need to change that to people will if they can. And there is such a difference to look at people and say, nobody wakes up and says, I don't want to be successful. I don't want to do my best today. People will if they can, and recognize that, you know, people who are neurodivergent are working harder than people who are neurotypical, and changing our mindset to respect and honor and just see them for the value that they do bring.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
Incredible value that they bring.
That's so powerful.
And I as much as we don't like it, it's still classified as a disability. So it still makes it harder for us to show up in the world. And yes, it's an invisible disability, but there are physical ramifications, like maybe the clothing that you wear, or like this odor that you carry, or whatever it is, or the way that you present yourself with people. And so for me, a lot of it has been unlearning and what I expect from people.
Because
you're right, people can, if... oh my goodness, I just lost my train of thought. But I love it. There you go. There's the brain fog. There's the ADHD brain fog.
That's right.
Right in real time. Okay, it's definitely quick.
Well, I think for adults with ADHD, it's being able to understand what it is that impacts you and then be able to talk to your people, whether it's your spouse or your friends or your boss. And you don't have to say, I have ADHD, therefore I need to have these accommodations. You say, I learned this way. Or to be successful, I need... you to, you know, verbalize what it is that you want me to do, and then give me a short summary, or to chunk that work, or give me deadlines, or give me a body double, like that's somebody who can work with me. Give me checkpoints. Deadlines are very important for people with ADHD, and so is because we're time blind, right? So you can take a long time to do something, and then at the 11th hour, it's like, oh my goodness, that thing is done. Rather to have like checkpoints, schedule things. You can write down lists upon lists, but people with ADHD, like you write down a list, they're like, just can't you look at your list? Like, no, I cannot, because my brain doesn't work that way. So talk about it with a way that makes you feel confident and that you know it's going to add to your success. Therefore, it's going to help your relationships and the output and the contribution and the work that you do. But it's about educating yourself, advocating, and go through it. Like, talk to your psychiatrist, talk to your doctor, get medication if you need it, talk to a naturopath, have a coach, have, you know, somebody who's going to be on your side helping you through every step of the way to understand it, not feel alone, and to have hope.
I love the hope part. You know, in this conversation, I know, even for myself, but I know viewers and listeners are kind of going, whoa, there's a lot of information really quickly, but I need some support. I need help. I mean, need some prayer. And I think that's one of the best things that we can do. And so we do have a 24/7 prayer line that you can access, 1-866-273-4444. And if you're struggling today, feeling overwhelmed in the conversation, you have a spouse or a child that is neurodivergent, you're like, I just need someone to listen to me, to pray with me. We have it 24/7. Someone is there to pray with you through your challenges, concerns, and deep needs. Take a look at this.
I've been fighting depression for years, and some days are harder than others. Your prayers are helping me find peace and a glimmer of hope. You were there for me, renewing my mind with the Word of God.
Well, we're here for you, and we'd love to pray for you today. Final thoughts and takeaways, maybe just on faith. How has faith helped you and grounded you through this journey with neurodivergent people in your life.
Yeah, we are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yes.
And that is all.
Yeah.
That is all. That's what we need to cling to and hold on to, every single one of us.
Fearfully and wonderfully
made. That's literally, so we are made in the image of a good God.
Yeah.
And so when I look at my children, I look at my husband, I look at myself, I see the image of a good God represented in there. Mm-hmm. And that is what I want to celebrate and love and lean into.
Mm.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, and I think just having courage and actually praying and surrounding yourself with other faithful people who understand or who can give you that compassion is so key and so important, and recognizing that God gave you who you are, so use it to the best of your ability.
Mm-hmm. And I think for me, like looking at Jesus, there was such tenderness and kindness for those that were different, that mm-hmm. were on the outside, that were marginalized, that were not neurotypical.
Right.
Jesus reached out to them, saw them, made time for them, made space for them, and gave them a voice, gave them space to weep, to cry, to do what they needed to do. And I think that's the beauty and the encouragement, you know, for us as followers of Jesus, to just really be in that place of tenderness, kindness, gentleness, patience, really the fruits of the Spirit living out in us.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Such a good perspective,
yes.
Mel.
So thank you. Well, thank you, Sue, Tryphena, and Stephanie for being with us. We could talk about this for hours, but thank you for just sort of getting it going and getting the conversation going. And for you, our viewers and listeners, go to seeherlove.com for all the information about us, to sign up for our weekly newsletter, to listen to our podcast, to download our free Bible study guides, to watch our past shows and join our community, and follow us on Instagram for behind-the-scenes clips, inspiration to see what we're up to, where I'm speaking across Canada, all the things. And always know that you are seen, you are heard, and you are deeply, deeply loved by God. Thanks for joining us.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for listening to See, Hear, Love, the podcast with Melinda Estabrooks. We are able to do See, Hear, Love because of these generous sponsors, Tyndale University. Melinda and I are both Tyndale alumni. Tyndale is where you will experience high-quality academics interwoven with faith and a community of students and faculty that challenges you to live authentically, to follow Christ, and actively engage your culture. Visit www.tyndale.ca. The Canadian Bible Society champions the Bible as the voice of God, revealing Jesus Christ, the living word. Go to www.biblesociety.ca. Please check out these amazing organizations who are doing life-transforming work and who we are proud to be partnered with.